Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. As many of you know, we were supposed to have a guest on Tuesday, Andy Williams Jr., presidential campaign candidate for 2024. I don't know if he forgot, but what happened was on Tuesday when we were scheduled to have the guest on, both from the Netherlands and also from the States, from Illinois, we had technical problems. And the Blog Talk Radio administrators did not resolve the issue until actually yesterday afternoon, which meant that I rescheduled for today, and Andy Williams was supposed to be on with us, but because he's been coming on Tuesdays, he may have forgotten or maybe something came up. But what I'd like to speak about, since we have the show going anyway, are some of the things that we have going on in this country right now. It's not bad enough that we're dealing with all this conflict over in Israel and Ukraine and all the division between our political leaders. But we also have a lot of problems within the prison itself. This is Andy Williams now. I'm sorry, audience. Could you hold, please? Hello? Yes, right now. Okay, thank you. Again, that was Andy Williams, and he is calling in now. Yes. The thing that's going on right now with everything else, the political division, the conflict overseas, all this money going over to other countries, the United States being in a dysfunction state now itself and lacking a lot of economical assets at an actually absence of many other things. So and again, Andy Williams is on with us now. I explained, Andy, about the technical problems we had Tuesday, and I can understand you're forgetting about today because you've been coming on Tuesdays. And this was a last-minute reschedule because of the problems we had. Administration notified me that they did resolve the issues yesterday. However, we had already rescheduled for today. So I apologize for the technical problems that we had, and I thank you for coming on knowing that it's a last-minute deal. But I was also discussing issues that go on in this country right now. But I wanted to bring up some issues with the prison system before we get into this. I want to let everyone know. This is something that I recently experienced with an individual that's incarcerated, and I find that this is happening across the country as well. When people want to detain or keep an individual from progressing in the penal system, they manage to make all kinds of problems. They're not transparent, and one of the issues we have in this country is a lack of transparency in the penal system, in government, in the streets, in the communities, in a lot of these organizations that are out there. This is a prisoner who was supposed to have been transferred to a medium secure prison, and unfortunately, at the very last minute, it was supposed to take place today. At the very last minute, they said that this individual had to go to another prison because a threat was made on his life at the prison he was being sent to. This is an excuse that they have been using for 27 years with the same individual. When he first got sentenced, they sent him out of state, away from his family, away from all connections, all support that he had. They ended up doing his appeal while he was in another state with a public defender representing him. He asked the public defender to please hold off until he could be returned to the States, which they did not do. So he lost that appeal without even being at his own appeal. Throughout the years, he has tried to take educational correspondence courses. He has tried to get into work programs. He has done everything he could, and nothing, because he was denied every bit of everything he tried to do. Unfortunately, there are lawyers out there that when they hear of an individual that's being targeted, not only by the penal system, but by everyone else in law, in legal, because the victim was related to someone that was a lawyer. And so all lawyers have been informed. And this individual, which committed an offense when he was very seriously depressed, never got the help. And this is one of the problems we have in this country. We have epidemic problems of mental health issues and substance abuse. And they throw all these people in prison instead of throwing them in or putting them in a long-term residential treatment facility. There was also a racial divide in this situation because one of the persons, the offender, is a color person that was fatally wounded, was Caucasian. The family was well connected. This individual has been trying for years to do the best he could and to be in prison serving his life without sentence that they gave him for a first offense, never involved with the law, never involved with substances of any sort. This is something that needs to be checked into. There needs to be independent oversight in these prisons because this is not going to be tolerated. We wonder why all these countries hate us. We have people that come on my show from other countries that talk about this, the United States and the injustices that go on, the racism that goes on, the vengeance, the retaliation, and all of these things. Something needs to be done. And until our legislative members stop being so afraid to act, then maybe something can be done. However, legislative members make phone calls on behalf of individuals incarcerated. They make phone calls. They might even write a letter. But when nothing happens, they don't follow up on it, even when they know there's injustice going on. Even though they know that these individuals behind those prison walls are being abused, are being violated, are being tormented, tortured. And this is why we have such a problem in this country, an epidemic of suicides as well. Suicides. This country is having all these people incarcerated to the point where they don't know which way to turn. And some of them have been so violated, so abused, that they have committed suicide. And there are many that have died with the officials stating that these people committed suicide when, in fact, I don't believe they did. And many have cried out for help and have not received it. And I just want the audience to know this because this is something that needs to be addressed. And I'm hoping that we can get some legislative members, someone in government, to start doing something about these issues as well. We have a caller, Hope, 57. You want to state your name, please?
That's me, Miss Leona.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Williams. I am so sorry. So I'm going to now introduce you to the audience. Again, I'm sorry for going on and rattling on. But a situation like this happened today, and it was a sudden thing. And this individual was very upset about it because it would have been much, much closer to his loved one. And I'll tell you, the loved one has been having problems with their eyes and is unable to travel. So this is really was a hardship. And he was told he was going to a facility that was closer to his home. And they last minute changed it. And because he denied, because he refused to go into another facility right next door to where he was, they have put him in a restrictive punishment block, and he doesn't know how long he will be there. So now that I've said that, Andy, can you please let the audience know what your role is right now, what your plans are, and let them know what you're about? Many of you have already been listening in to Andy Williams Jr., presidential candidate, and he's going to speak more on what he's been doing and what he is planning on doing. So, Mr. Williams, I will give you the floor. Thank you so much again for coming on and having patience with what I had to say.
Thank you, Ms. Leona. Yeah, I did not even know I was supposed to be on, and when you called, I was talking to an attorney, and I was like, oh, let me text you. Well, basically what our campaign and what we're doing right now is it's threefold. One is to restore America. The Restore America platform is about restorative justice and taking it back to the Aboriginal, the Native way of how they dealt with infractions in the community. Part of the thing about restorative justice is when somebody does an infraction or harms somebody in the community or the village, the whole village suffers. So it doesn't become an us against them. It becomes, where have we failed as a village or a tribe that allowed this atrocity to happen? And within that Restore America platform is also to give the land back. You know, one of the things that we as a people don't realize is land is the most important thing, because you can be self-sufficient, you can sustain yourself, you can grow your own crops, your own food, raise your own chickens. Just so much we can do with land. And so that's part of our restitution plan under Restore America. And then our vision for America is really where I see America can be at, and that's based on us having freedom that deals with our unalienable rights, the rights that are given to us by nature's God, a creator, which for me is Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, that has given us a blueprint as people on earth on how to live based on loving thy neighbor, knowing thy neighbor, which again, whenever there's an infraction and we don't do that, there's an accountability. The accountability and the position we hold should not be on vengeance, but more about restoring you or getting you onto the right path, is what in the individual prison system originally was created, on word at least, to be a correctional facility, not a punitive, vindictive. So we use the model of Norway, but I share that in the platform for Vision for America. And then as I deal with the community, primarily the prison industrial platform is about teaching certain group of people how to abolish legalized slavery and showing what these codes and statutes are, primarily with victimless crime. So a victimless crime is possession of drugs, for instance. And there's an unfair process in that, because the state of Georgia, and I'll share with you how, the state of Georgia in their sovereign capacity sued the opioid dealers or the opioid people who manufacture this, the companies, pharmaceutical companies. Illinois did the same thing, which I'm from Illinois. Well, they just got fined. It was just a civil fine. But then when you come into the communities, which I like to say we from the hood, there's a criminal element to that. So what is the difference between the brother selling drugs in the community or the sister selling drugs, as Tupac would say, you know, no, I'm sorry, Scarface on one of his raps said, selling dope, he said selling dope is just a way to get ahead. You know, I got to keep my baby fed. And what he's saying is this is an economic tool for now. And I'm not in alignment with it. I'm not, you know, advocating that we should be selling dope unless it's in the natural resource, which is a drug for medicinal purposes. So I do advocate for that. But when you look at the disparities, you know, crack, powder, sentencing, the disparities, we know there's a disparated impact, a racial undertone under that for that. So when I'm talking about the hood, because I got a brand called The Hood Candidate, so I just say it, it's educating and empowering this demographic, which I like to say we're the Joshua generation, and teaching us on how to run for office. You know, how to be in Congress, how to, you know, we need to learn how to do these things. And our platform is like, we can't wait till, you know, a presidential election. These things are happening to us now. Our communities are being destroyed. And the only way we're going to get this straight is if we the people do it. And we can't wait on an election for that.
There is so much, so much that has to be done in this country right now. It's pathetic. You know, and I listen to all this conflict that's going on abroad, and we're getting too much involved with that instead of addressing the issues that we have in our own country. And these are the things that hopefully we'll get someone in office that will address these major issues instead of dividing one another. They don't have a Speaker of the House yet. They got rid of one, and the other one has recently stepped down, so there's one left, which is Jordan. People don't like this Jordan, whatever his name is. They don't like him. And if he gets in, I can guarantee there's going to be a government shutdown. There's going to be more major problems. We are already going crazy. They said if there's a government shutdown, the military will not get paid. We have people right now that are so vulnerable in this country. We have people in this country that they're not going to work for nothing, military or law enforcement or any others. And if that happens, this country is open for anyone to attack. And I believe that's what they're trying to do right now, is to make it possible for this country to be attacked. And I also believe there's internal terrorists in this country already. And I would like to have your thoughts on that, Mr. Williams.
On the domestic terrorists in the country right now?
On all of this division that's going on and the military not being paid or not having a leader right now, the threats of the shutdown and all of these issues that are going to follow as a result.
Well, I believe personally this is all prophecy. It's been prophesied that this time was going to happen. And in the end times, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, you know, family members going to rise up against family members. And if we could really see that that's what's happening right now as we live today. And when we talk about this domestic terrorism, we have domestic terrorists that are being trained to be domestic terrorists right now because it's going on in Atlanta with Cop City. I think they're trying to do something also in Baltimore, where you're militarizing this police force, which to me is just nothing but modern-day slave patrols and slave catchers. And I want to clarify that I'm not calling men and women who choose a profession to be police officers as bad people. I'm saying as an institution on how it's evolved into where it's at today, it's just not doing, I think, from a media perspective as being right. But I talked to the police chief over here in my city, and it's a good brother. Like, I appreciate him, as well as there's an officer, chief of police with the Westmont Police Department, that I was stopped for my tag being expired. And I had a phenomenal encounter, for real, like I did. There was a chief of police out of Aurora, Illinois, Chief Powell, that arrested me when I was, about 20-something years old. And when I got out of jail, a couple later, we wind up sitting on a board, and he's a dear friend of mine today, along with several other men and women that have taken up the role to be police officers. So I don't want it to seem like I'm against that system. I mean, I'm against the people, but I am against that system where there is no accountability. There should be constitutional policing that has them with an oath, which is to protect the rights of the people and their property, and basically going back to peace officers, that they're here when there's a breach of the peace. But if they're showing up being the breach of the peace, how can you be there to protect when there is a breach of the peace if you're the peace breachers? So I feel that I say that because the history that I've learned surrounding the 13th Amendment and the Black Code, Slave Codes, and the Slave Patrol, Slave Catchers, that is where I discuss that part about the policing. And I know we as a people have the ability to govern ourselves for those that are mature. And then again, going back to the Restore America, the Aboriginal way, we can, if we know our neighbor, then we can at least respect our neighbor. And, you know, the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, specifically El Hajj Malik Shabazz, formerly known as Malcolm X, talked about Sunday at noon is one of the most divided days in our country. I worship on a Saturday. That's my Sabbath, our family Sabbath. So I say Saturday and Sunday, but those are divided days. And what's going on right now in Israel, that's a religious war. And we're seeing that. And that's the same thing that's been happening here, too. There's been a war. because somebody's saying my God is better than your God, but if your God is causing you to hate me, that's not a God that I want to follow. And it's not the creator, the living God, the natural nature's God. That's not the God that's the God I'm following, but that's not the God that I feel like so many others are following, because they're trying to force your religious belief on the other people, which is causing such a division and a hate.
I'm glad you brought that up because right here in Massachusetts, there have been protests and on both sides at the universities, Harvard University and Columbia and other schools. I'm thinking this is going to be a major problem in this country, because you have people that are protesting against Hamas with the Israel, and then you have the people from the Gaza, people that are defending their country, because they've been under a lot of affliction as well. And because in this country, one of the things is, if we have people in this country that the majority is against someone or another country, they have a problem with people speaking, opposite of what they're saying. I think that everybody, first of all, has a right to express their feelings and their opinions. And I think that people know that there's a lot of Arabs as well as the Jewish people that have suffered a great deal from the affliction that they have gone through. And I don't think that anyone should be going through any kind of oppression criticism for speaking out about their own countries. We have people, and it was on the news the other day, a lot of these people were saying they lost loved ones too. Their own family members were murdered or were beaten or were shot or whatever the case may be. And so when it comes to Israel and the Jews and the Arabs, I tell everyone to stay out of it, stay neutral. Just don't do anything. And our country, our government should not even be over there, because these people have been fighting for years from the very beginning. And it's not up to our government to get involved in a lot of issues that pertain to, as you say, going back to biblical times.
Uh-huh.
So our government needs to stay out of it and stay involved in their own country that is slowly and quickly, and it is quickly, degrading. And this country has so many problems in it right now that other countries are talking about. The people I interview from the Netherlands, as I say, talk about the problems in this country, the racism, the corruption, the deception, the lies, the things that go on. And it's terrible that we don't have leaders with some kind of sense, some kind of intelligence that knows what they're doing.
I'm with you.
As far as the policing goes, when we talk about the policing, look at when that January 6th insurrection took place, look at the police officers that ended up committing suicide shortly after all of that. Look at the ones that were trampled on, that were beaten by all of that chaos that was going on. And a lot of these people that were doing all this awful stuff, a lot of them were military, former military. So that's why I say we have to watch, because this terrorism that's in this country, they worry about the borders in Central America. They have to worry about the people they've already let in from maybe a previous president. I don't know. But they need to look at what's going on in the United States of America, and they need to get their behinds back to this country to work on this country before they try to take care of someone else's business.
Right. You're right. We must take care of our own home first.
I just feel bad for the people of this country. A lot of the churches, they're being misled. That's the same thing with the citizens of the United States of America. A lot of them are being misled. And we have a media that reports only one-sided stories. They report only one-sided stories when it comes to prisons, when it comes to government, when it comes to all of these things going on in other countries. And where is NATO? Where are these countries in NATO that were financially helping until the United States started sending all this money over, and then all of a sudden you don't hear about any funding coming from NATO countries.
Right. You're right.
Anyway, I'm just venting. So I'm going to stay back and let you do the talking as to what you would like to see happen and what you would be doing to make it happen.
Well, again, it's for Andy, it's not something that I would be doing. It's something that we're doing already. Like, I am living the campaign that I am believing in. It's, I wake up every single day with the thought of this being a better society, a better neighbors. Just it's what I do every single day. It's just what it is. So I don't want to be like, hey, getting elected is what's gonna happen. The role of anybody that's elected in office is to represent the constituents, but the role of government is a very limited role. And it's there to protect the rights of the people and their property from the government infringing. A lot of these codes and statutes that we've come to believe are laws, they're not laws. They're unconstitutional. And these are things that we have to repeal, abolish, and roll back. And that even includes taxes. You know, the right to choose your own family. I may not agree with what other people you know, they choose to do in their household. That's your private matter. But we do have an obligation to protect the public from certain things because family values do matter. And so I believe, it's not what I believe. We're a nation that's out of control. We're a people that's out of control in the sense of we're not holding others accountable whenever they're infringing upon our rights or we don't get the right remedy when our rights have been coming infringed, are being infringed, and people are beginning to hide behind, people are hiding behind corporations, saying, well, a corporation did it. No, people did that. A corporation is nothing but a title and a label, and that comes from us electing judges or appointing people that call themselves as judges, not understanding what their role is. And we, the people, have the right to be informed. We the people have a right to essentially alter and abolish the government and form a new form of government. And that's what I am intending to do. That's what we're doing now with our campaign, is we're helping people understand and be aware of what their inalienable rights are.
Well, I'm happy to hear that somebody is thinking logically and hoping to make some positive changes in this country.
We all get to make the positive changes in the country. It's all of us working together.
And that's what it is, unity, coming together in unity to make these things happen. But up until now, everyone has let the government do their thing, and everyone has seen what the government is not doing, and still people are not making that move. And I'm hoping and praying that they will soon realize that we are the people. We are the government, and unless we all come together and work in unity, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know something major is going to happen that's not good, and we have to act. We have to act fast.
Right, right. We do. We're doing it, too.
So I would like to have you give the audience, again, all of your contact information, some ways that they can help, or even if they want to volunteer to do some research or to make some flyers or to do something to help you in your, you know, your goal to see this through. Can you give the audience your information?
Our website is www.awj2024.com. You can find me on LinkedIn at Andy Williams Jr. If you go to the website, I think there's still some tweaks going on. They're trying to get the email contact and stuff put together. It was supposed to have been done yesterday. We are looking for volunteers across the state just to organize because we're all going to need ballot access. And then I'm also looking for individuals that can spread the message. Maybe we could send some flyers to that can post them around in their community. As well as any other additional podcasts, radios, any journalists that you know, if we can help, you know, get me into the media with our platform and our campaign about United We Stand, because this country is so divided and we need representation that represents unity, but not just for a campaign, but they representing unity because that's what they believe, that's what they do, that's who they are.
Well, I'm sure that's a big plus right there. Again, I don't know what to say, and I know that you're probably exhausted because you've been working really hard in all of these things that you've been working on with your own campaign. So I won't keep you over the hour, but I did want to ask, as it is now, have you been getting a lot of people that have been supportive and that have been interested in helping in any way?
Yes, we have, and I think that's one of the great things. In fact, we picked up, well, I had a supporter, Heidi, from Massachusetts, but how do I want to say, but we spoke on the phone today, and that's one of the things that I've been doing is talking to individuals that are already providing solutions, and so we're organizing these individuals to be able to share the solutions. When you come to an individual in a position of authority, that individual should be able to provide solutions and where you can get the solutions. As I've said in previous conversations, the buck stops here. So you don't get to come to me and we don't come up with a solution. And so our campaign is about providing those solutions, letting you know that there's a problem to every, there's a solution to every problem that exists. There truly is. Just because you don't know about it does not mean it doesn't exist. And so that's how we're building our campaign around solutions, because I'm a solutionary. And that's why you often hear us say, we can't wait till November 5th, 2024, because our rights are being infringed and violated October 13th, 2023. Imagine you got to wait a whole year for somebody to give you some assistance. Come back to me tomorrow when I'm, no. We have to do with this now. So our support team is growing. Sometime in November, we've narrowed our pick down to our vice president. And coming in November, we'll announce that. So we're pretty much happy. We're constantly building up our, well, we kind of like have our cabinet for the most part. And we're moving forward.
Exactly. I've spoken to a couple of people that they already know of you, and they were saying you're an excellent candidate. They were saying that you're a really good person. And, you know, that's what I like to hear from people when a name is brought up. Oh, I know Andy. He is awesome. He is excellent. And so you must be doing something right when people do say that. But, again, audience, one of the things is with the things that Andy's working on right now, a lot of these things are issues that we talk about all the time. We bring it up all the time. We can't understand why these things are continuously going on. And this country right now, as I said, this country is in bad shape. There's no transparency. There's one-sided stories being put out there by the media. And if we're going to have any normality in this country, we have to have both sides. And we have to remain neutral while getting both sides, trying to figure out exactly what is taking place. We know there's people in the prisons. We know there's people in the communities who have lost loved ones or who were victims. We have to look at these things and try to, and this is why I'm very interested in restorative justice. I think it gives an opportunity for both sides to be able to speak their piece, to say what they weren't able to say, or to say what they feel. The media does not give both sides a voice. And so a lot of people don't know the true story behind whatever happens. And these are some of the things that I'm hoping that, Andy, I'm hoping that you'll be able to work on as well, is improving our penal system in addition to all the other things that are going on in the world.
We're not trying to improve the penal system. We're trying to abolish the prison industrial complex and come back to reformatory, you know, institutions and correctional facilities. That's what we're trying to do, and we can easily reduce the prison population by 60% if we just get rid of these victimless, you know, where there's no victim involved and they're just minor, oh, parole violation, probation violation, minor infractions. We'll truly 100% be able to reduce what, like I said, it's legalized slavery. That's all this is. It's legalized slavery.
And I just realized, I mean, I just learned that the Department of Corrections actually is working on this as well, that they themselves are saying that we have too many people incarcerated in the United States, and they themselves are working on abolishing the death penalty and also life sentences and sentencing accordingly. Most of the people I interview from other countries are talking about this. The maximum sentencing that they give is 25 years, unless it's extreme, like serial killers or mass murderers or terrorism. Other than that, their maximum is 25 years. And I think that in some places now, the United States, they're looking at that. And the Department of Justice sent out that release that they are trying to work on this mass incarceration because it's causing a lot of taxpayers a lot of dollars, and as well as not, and also another thing that they're looking at is improving the conditions in the prisons as well.
Mm-hmm. That's what Norway has, and North Dakota has done that.
I heard recently that North Dakota is one of the states already putting it in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, again, I want to thank you for coming on today. And again, it was a last minute scheduling. And I look forward to having you on Tuesday. Hopefully, we won't have any problems Tuesday when we do the regular weekly interview. And I'm sure that the Blog Talk Radio administrators are going to make sure that they take care of this problem so it doesn't happen again. Because I told them, if these problems are going to continue, then they need to start looking at compensating people for the loss of their interviews when these things happen. It happens too much. People get dropped. People lose sound. Or what happened the other day, there was no sound. People couldn't get in. It was terrible. So hopefully they have resolved it once and for all.
I'm with it.
Okay. So Andy Williams Jr. again is with us today. We're going to leave this shop today because Andy was not prepared for this last minute scheduling, and he is quite busy these days. He's all over the place. So audience, please join us on Tuesday at 5:30 p.m., to have Andy Williams Jr. on with us again, and we will all be more prepared for the interview at that time. Again, Andy, I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I admire you for taking the stand to do something about the country, to take a stand, to come on board, and hopefully get those votes so that we can get somebody in power that's decent and that's for the people.
Right. I always say, if not us, then who? If not now, then when?
Exactly. Thank you so much, Andy, and I truly appreciate, and I'm honored to have you on at any time, every time. Thank you so much. Audience,
yeah,
we are going to end this episode. Please, once again, join us tomorrow, Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time to also hear again from our presidential candidate, Andy Williams Jr. Thank you so much. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.